AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Jackson Hewitt.
I'm Steve Kathan. Should TikTok be banned? That question's been in the air as the company's CEO confronts congressional critics.
House Energy Committee Chairwoman Kathy McMorris Rogers says TikTok is, plain and simple, a security risk.
TikTok is a grave threat of foreign influence in American life.
CEO Shou-Zi Chew said TikTok takes those concerns very seriously, but he sought to stress that the social media platform owned by the Chinese company ByteDance operates independently of the Chinese government.
Only vetted personnel operating in a new company called TikTok US Data Security can control access to this data.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
In New York, the grand jury that's been weighing the case involving former President Trump is working on other matters today. CBS's Robert Costa on the decision to compel a Trump attorney to testify in the separate classified documents case.
It's a really significant development.
Former federal prosecutor Harry Littman.
It could be absolutely devastating evidence of Trump's guilt of obstructing the investigation into the return of the classified documents.
It could also be a prism into what Trump said behind the scenes, before and after the FBI searched Mar-a-Lago last year.
One Denver high school administrator is still hospitalized, the other treated and released after yesterday's shooting at school. Sheriff Tom McGraw says the 17-year-old suspect that was sought for hours was found dead.
It was up in the woods, I'm guessing probably about 0.2 miles from the vehicle. Like I said, it's not a heavily wooded area, but it's kind of steep.
Overseas, Russia launched new missile and drone attacks in Ukraine. CBS's Remy Innocencio on what was hit.
A Russian missile slammed into this apartment block in the southeast city of Zaporizhia, reducing homes to rubble, killing one and injuring dozens. Hours earlier, Russian drones struck the town of Rzeszów, about 40 miles south of Kyiv, leaving gaping holes in a college and two dormitories, killing at least 9.
The European Union has just endorsed a plan to send Ukraine more ammunition. CBS's Jen Clark tells us some consumer relief may be on the way soon.
It's easy to start an online subscription with just one tap of a button, but canceling can involve long phone calls with sales pitches. Now, the FTC wants to make canceling online subscriptions easier. It's proposing a new rule that would make canceling a subscription as simple as signing up for one. The click-to-cancel provision would make it easier to cancel, and if it's not, the company can be fined up to $50,000.
The Dow is up 280. This is CBS News.
Choose Jackson Hewitt for 50% off and your guaranteed biggest refund. 50% off is a limited-time offer for new clients filing at participating locations. Max value $200. Visit jacksonhewitt.com/50 for terms.
It's March, and you know what that means? Taxes are almost due. Jackson Hewitt can help you win tax season. That's the sound of your maximum tax refund. The sound of getting 50% off tax prep. The sound of many of our competitors' prices going up. And the sound of getting to your nearest Jackson Hewitt. Hurry in for 50% off tax prep before this offer expires April 9th. Limited time offer for new clients filing at participating locations. Max value $200. Visit jacksonhewitt.com/50 for terms.
I can't believe tax season is here already. But look at all this info I have to enter.
Phil's small accounting firm is growing in numbers.
Why didn't I take that typing class in high school?
A data entry specialist could really help him in a crunch.
I got blisters on my fingers!
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
A connection with a pet is profound for both you and them. Find your next family member at our local Southwood County Humane Society. Your pet becomes your best friend, your protector, and when they're gone, honor them with a private cremation service from Pets Honored Pet Cremation Center. Pets Honored, proud sponsor of Pet of the Week with WFHR.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. The Marshfield Fairgrounds Commission will meet on Friday, March 24th at 12 p.m. at 2nd Street Community Center in Marshfield. The Central Chamber Chorale will perform in Wisconsin Rapids on Friday, March 24th at 7:30 p.m. at the First Congregational Church. Admission is free. Their theme is A Night at the Opera. The third annual Easter Egg Scavenger Hunt begins on Friday in Stevens Point. The scavenger hunt runs March 24th through April 9th. The pre-hunt bonus question is, I am named after a president of the Consolidated Water Power and Paper Company. I am the only park on the west bank of the Wisconsin River. What city of Stevens Point Park am I? Submit your answer to parksandrec@stevenspoint.com to be entered into the drawing. At 2 p.m. on Friday, the Stevens Point Parks, Recs, and Forestry Department will answer the question on their Facebook page to kick off the scavenger hunt. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 42. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 20. Tonight, mainly clear skies. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 45. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 38.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Go, Senator.
Kristen, it's great to be here with you again. I love that, you know, in your intro that they pronounce your last name, Kristen Bry. You know, because I didn't know how to say it. We call you Kristen Lai, where in my parts in Green Bay and the areas of the Fox Valley. So, it syncs up nicely with that.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour. And we could not be more excited for our guest that is joining us for this half hour. He's written for Saturday Night Live and Seinfeld. And Curb Your Enthusiasm. He wrote The Cat in the Hat, starring Mike Myers, and wrote and directed Eurotrip. And then he was the executive producer, writer, and showrunner on arguably the most accurate political show to ever do it, and won a couple Emmys doing it, Veep. And now has a new show that's starting this month on HBO called The White House Plumbers. Please welcome David Mandel to As Goes Wisconsin. How are you doing today, sir?
Hey, how are you both?
We are great.
We're great. We're so excited to have you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. How are you? What's going on?
Well, you know, we got an election coming up.
What's new in Wisconsin?
I know, right?
Exactly.
People forget, I think, sometimes when they're, you know, I live in California for a long time, and I think a lot of people out there don't think twice about Wisconsin, but there's a lot going on here, especially in politics.
I'm doing a big national media tour, but locally just Wisconsin. So
Exactly. We're in the lineup of all the other late night shows pushing this new to the White House Plumbers. But so thank you for making time for us.
Well, thank you for having a Supreme Court election that basically is holding the fate of democracy in its hands. So thank you.
You know, we like to get attention every once in a while, even if it's not always for the best things. So I guess before, because I do want to get into how you ended up.
Anything and everything, sure.
Yes. In Wisconsin politics. But so am I making this up? Or are you from Chicago?
No, you are making that up.
Where
I'm
from
New York City.
You are from New York City.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know where I saw that then. So from New York, your first break was SNL?
Yeah, I got involved in comedy writing at college. And then when I came out of college, I did a couple of little things at Comedy Central. But my real first job was Saturday Night Live from 92 to 95. So basically the very end of the Dana Carvey, Phil Hartman, Kevin Nealon, those guys, and the rise of Sandler, Farley, Spade, Schneider, those guys. And so right in there. Yeah, it was pretty great time.
So you were just out of college, basically? And so you were early 20s?
Yeah, I technically started there. I was still 21 for the first 2 months of work. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dave,
yeah.
Do you come from a funny family? I mean, is funny part of your family?
They're loud. I don't know. Sometimes sometimes that can be funny. You know, I think, yes, I think they're actually, everybody's pretty amusing. But, you know, but I'll say this for myself, too. I'm not sure any of us knew this was really a job. You know what I mean? Like it just, you know, I was a TV movie fan. I read things and whatnot. And yet the notion of, like, I'm going to be a writer, you know, and not a lawyer and not a doctor or not all these other things. That was definitely a moment. It helped that I had a job at Saturday Night Live. So when I called my parents, I was able to say, so I'm not really doing that whole college recruiting thing and whatever, but, you know, I've got a job. I mean, then I was like, I have a job at Comedy Central. And then before that ended, I was like, I have a job at SNL. So they were just like, okay, but yeah.
It's legit. Yeah. It's not your friend's basement, like, back door sketch group that you're like, promise it's going to lead somewhere.
I'm not sure they ever fully understood it or still understand it, but they at least are aware it's real. So, yeah.
And so when you read your resume, it feels like kind of one thing went, like, SNL led to Seinfeld, and then each thing kind of, like, ping-ponged into... Obviously, the wild success and all the Emmy Awards and nominations for Veep. And so has it kind of, I mean, nothing's ever a straight line, but it feels like
it's not a perfect straight line. And obviously, it's a strange mix of, I don't know, I hope this doesn't sound too, you know, braggy. I think I've been able to work on some really, really great television and some not great movies. And so those are sort of the two components of my life. Yeah.
And so, good.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, but no, it was sort of TV for a while, sort of through Seinfeld. And then there was kind of a change in the business, which I won't bore your audience with. And all of a sudden I was doing more movie stuff, and that was kind of going on for a while. And then kind of got back to TV when Larry was doing Curb Your Enthusiasm. And that obviously was HBO and, you know, whatever that sort of the dawn of prestige television was. And then I kind of stayed there for a bit. There was a little ping ponging, but like kind of was back in TV, and I've kind of been there since to some extent. So yeah.
And so then with Veep, is that because you're now, part of the reason you're here is because you're invested in Wisconsin politics, despite being from New York, despite not living in Wisconsin. It's also how Julia Louis-Dreyfus ended up sharing one of my videos recently.
Yep.
And so I guess, were you political before Veep, or was it through writing that show?
In the Road Not Taken, I was a government major. So I studied American government in college, for whatever that is worth, not apparently much. You know, and again, on some path at the time before it was like, I want to be a comedy writer, it's hard to answer it, but I guess I would not have been surprised had I gone to DC or worked on someone's campaign. Like, I feel like that was sort of vaguely my path that I was thinking about until I realized, no, I want to do, you know, comedy. And so, but even when, like, at SNL, like, the first big thing that I ever wrote where, like, it was like, whoa, people are seeing it, people are talking about it, was something that I wrote with Al Franken, then not Senator Al Franken, and Jim Downey. But it was in 92, it was Bill Clinton pre-inaugural jogging into the McDonald's and explaining the Somalian warlords using the food on people's trays. But every time, you know, every time the Somalian warlords intercept the shipments, he ate it, and there was, you know, and whatever. So when I got to the show, you know, even though, like, I was relatively a young kid, I was far more interested in writing Bill Clinton sketches, or, you know, at the time Dana Carvey was doing, like, Ross Perot and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, than I ever was in the, again, great stuff, but I guess, you know, whatever, like the Sandler Farley sort of more age appropriate stuff, I guess, to me.
Yes. Yeah. The goofy off the wall.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah. I was always into politics, I guess, you know, in my own quiet reading time, I read just a lot of nonfiction, political stuff and historical stuff. I just, that's what I do like. And so I was definitely into it all. Veep sort of ramped it up because all of a sudden it made sense to start subscribing to more newspapers, to start getting some of the various, you know, morning newsletters from like Politico or even like specific the Washington Post, like morning newsletters, you know, some of that kind of stuff to really be on top of like what was going on in DC, because I was looking for stories.
Yeah.
So I was definitely, you know, I was panning for gold, but accidentally I got more involved. So it was sort of a combination of those two things. Yeah. Plus, like, you know, Julia's a bit of a magnet for it, and sort of she was into it, I was into it. It was sort of like those two energies sort of collided. And obviously I can't work on the level that she does in terms of like, you know, getting people, but any chance I have to sort of help her with stuff and, you know, help with, you know, the words and, you know, make it funny and all of that kind of stuff, I figure that's my value. So there you go.
Absolutely. We're talking to David Mandel, who's a writer, director, producer, probably best known for Veep, would you say? But now
these days, but soon to be,
I know,
for directing White House Plumbers. We'll see. We'll see if that happens.
So let's talk a little bit about that show that's coming. It's premiering this month.
It's actually May 1st now. Originally, at some point they'd announced March, and then they decided May 1st for whatever their scheduling reasons are. But, and I don't even know if people know that, but I saw it in print yesterday, so I'm going to say it, even though it may be a big secret. So there you go, an exclusive.
Tell us more about the show.
I think it's a really fascinating thing. It's a show about Watergate. And I'll say a couple of things. Number one, obviously there've been in the history of Watergate, there've been shows about it, but this is the first show that kind of ever takes place from the perspective of the guys that actually did the break-in. It's basically about Howard Hunt, Gordon Liddy, and the burglars, the Cuban burglars and whatnot. And it's from their perspective. And so this is not, you know, your sort of typical halls of power, like in the Oval Office, you know, hearing the president, you know, talking and revealing all of that stuff. It's just very much from their perspective, who they were, how they got involved in it, what sort of really happened on this heist, and then the cost of their lives. And the two things that I think are really interesting, one obviously is number one, of course, after Watergate, politics was solved, everything was perfect, and there were never ever any bad people again. So that was good. And we never had a president that was ever sort of looking to overstep or anything like that. It's a reminder of the old days when that kind of stuff could happen. No, it's one of these stories that it strangely seems almost as relevant, you know, as we were working on it and we sort of got to the second impeachment hearing, it just seemed like it got more relevant. And it's also one of the things I'm fascinated by about it. These guys who basically put themselves on the line for the president and sort of broke the law in the name of the law. They were those really early, I don't know what else to say, true believers. And it's that true believerism that I think is a real curse.
Yeah.
Sometimes on both sides of politics, but one side in particular that I think a lot about. So, yeah.
And is it a dramedy then? Would you?
I mean, I don't love the word,
okay,
but it's like funny the way Boogie Nights was sometimes funny, but also sort of I mean, it's that.
Okay.
It's that. It's
right.
they happen to be, I'll say this, they
we
happen
take
to
a,
be funny guys. Yes,
okay, we gotta take a break. David Mandel is our guest. When we come back, we'll talk about politics and some Wisconsin sitcom pitches.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists in their own words.
know how you cannot love this is Love is a Kettle.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're a serious comedy to start your day.
Every penny counts. It isn't just a saying. It's a store where you can make sure your pennies count. At EPC, you'll find a little bit of everything. Electronics, baby products, home decor, and more. Save money on every item every single day. Stop by EPC on 8th Street South, next to Domino's and Wisconsin Rapids. Savings like this? Now that's epic.
Osmond left sideline. Going to Davis at the top. Feeds Wall high to the right. Badgers down one. 13:40 remaining. Klesmick finds a cutting. Davis Wall on the left. Up and in. It counts at a foul. Sorgen extending things a little bit on the defensive end. Siege it against Ward. Throwing to Gilmore. Top of the circle. Finds a cutting. Hepburn to the rim. And he'll send it in. Chucky Hepburn. Slam dunk. The zone here from Oregon. Klesmick feeds Wall. Shot clock at 5. Skip pass. Chucky snaps off a 3. Right side. Book it! Chucky Hepburn for 3. And it's 59-57 Wisconsin. And Soares inbounding. The 7-footer Crowell in his face. Soares winds up. Heaves it deep. And it's knocked away. And Guerrier for 3. And the tie. Back rim. No good. And it's off to Las Vegas for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Shriners Hospitals for Children has been creating wonderful opportunities for children in need. This life-changing medical care helps them do the things they've always dreamed of. Go to loveshriners.org.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
If you're getting interested in local stuff, you quickly get to Wisconsin.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from...
Stop surfing the dial. You found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, Dan Kelly, appeared this week at an event in western Wisconsin featuring a pastor who's called the murder of an abortion provider a justified homicide. Brookfield pastor Matthew Truella compared COVID-19 rules to the Holocaust and told attendees to reject government mandates. The Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel reported that Kelly spoke virtually after Truella. His campaign said he did not hear the comments by the other guest speaker, nor does he condone calls for violence of any kind. Kelly faces off against Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz on April 4th. Senator Tammy Baldwin and colleagues introduced a new effort to provide clean drinking water to people living in rural areas. The Healthy Drinking Water Affordability Act would provide grants for water testing and treatment directly to individuals and nonprofits dealing with contamination from PFAS, nitrates, and arsenic in private wells. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 42. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 20. Tonight, mainly clear skies. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 45. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 38.
Night Live and Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld. And one thing I think that he said that's so important, he didn't say it directly, but you have to go through so much garbage before you get to a good joke. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, there's just so much material that gets thrown away because it doesn't go anywhere and you have to keep at it.
Well, it's also like the kernel, right? Like there's the premise and the beginning of an idea, whether it's a joke or a sitcom or a sketch or whatever. But like, you know, some people are really good at the premise of the thing that could be funny, but then right. You actually got to write it.
Yeah. Which can be an entirely different thing.
And then you got the people who can edit it. And different people are good at different skills and like different parts of that process. And what I thought was really interesting was what he said about people pitching ideas for a Seinfeld episode. And, you know, the whole point of that show and even Curb Your Enthusiasm was really like finding the humor in the mundane.
Just, it's a very observational humor.
Yes, of like the stupid things that we do in our lives. And it's the obvious, sometimes, like in those situations, it's the obvious. But I would argue that's even what Veep was, which is why most people who work in politics will say Veep, it's more like Veep than it is like West Wing.
Yeah.
Where it's...
The reality is.
Yes. Yes. Or even Parks and Rec, where it is more... sometimes incompetence than malintent. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just people just trying to keep their head above water and covering their rear ends with making it, this is why we're doing this for some convoluted reason versus like, we just ran out of time.
Yeah.
Or whatever,
we
right?
We blew it, yes.
And so, but I feel like the only question I wish I would have asked, I think just the advice, and it's probably very different in the early 90s than it was what it is now, but just... comedy's a hard scene to break into.
No doubt.
And advice for young people, you know, in the Midwest who are, or anywhere really, trying to break into comedy and how you do that, whether it's as a writer or a performer or sketch, you know. And mm-hmm. so, but that was,
super fun.
Well, and the other thing that I think is really important to reiterate, Wisconsin is a critically, critically important state as far as it comes to preserving our democracy. And this upcoming election on April 4th is enormous because whoever is on the bench will be there when the results of the 2024 presidential election come down. And I would assume most people would like those results accepted.
Yeah.
And who is going to be on the bench is going to determine that.
Well, and that's, I feel like this is one element. Dan Schaefer from Recombobulation Area, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but he did a good job, as he always does, but he did a good job of explaining, you know, had Dan Kelly been elected instead of Jill Karofsky in 2020, likely the Wisconsin Supreme Court would have to overturn the election.
Yes, because they didn't by one vote, because of Michael
Brian Hagedorn.
Brian Hagedorn, yes.
But Brian Hagedorn, who won in 2019 and ran as a conservative candidate, who is now arguably the swing vote, unexpectedly, but, it, you know.
And for some, disappointingly.
Some very including Dan Kelly.
Yeah.
And so had Dan Kelly won in 2020 instead of getting thumped by Jill Karofsky, it wouldn't have been a 4-3 court. It would have been a 5-2 court.
Yep.
And there is reason to believe. We don't know for sure because it's a hypothetical. But there's reason to believe that had he been on that court, the votes in Milwaukee and Dane County would have been thrown away.
Yeah.
And in the situation we're in now, we very much could likely have our results in Wisconsin in 2024 go through the court system again. You know, if there's no reason why it couldn't, considering how close things are.
Yep.
What will happen in the next year and a half until we know? I mean, shoot, have we had any Trump updates as far as, has he been arrested yet?
No, because they adjourned the grand jury again. And I think the grand jury, well, tomorrow's Friday, so I think the grand jury is out for the rest of the week.
All right. So they're just...
Well,
this is why my reaction on Monday when we were talking about this is an eye roll, where it's like anyone who's holding their breath waiting for this to happen, it's like, it may not happen as quickly as you think it's going to, or be as exciting.
And first of all, consider the source. The man lied 36,000 times while he was in office. Why anyone would believe that he would tell the truth about when he's going to get arrested. All he's been doing on it is fundraising. He has been fundraising on this and making money off of people who still adore him. And one other side note.
I know this. I feel like this segment, we were going to talk about lap babies, but I feel like this, we're going to just talk about whatever we want to talk about for this segment. We've had a pretty packed show.
We have had a pretty organized show.
So let's just rip it.
Okay. Latest from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Molly Beck, Dan Kelly, Supreme Court candidate who will be facing off against against Janet Protasiewicz on April 4th, appeared Tuesday at an event in Western Wisconsin headlined by a Brookfield pastor
has
called the murder of an abortion provider, quote, justifiable homicide, unquote, advocated for the creation of anti-abortion focused militia, and compared COVID-19 pandemic-related masks mandates to the Holocaust. So Dan Kelly spoke after this pastor. He appeared virtually at the Wisconsin chapter of the Sons and Daughters of Liberty, which calls itself Christian Patriots, dedicated to restoring our constitutional republic and defending liberty.
But is our constitutional republic, like, what's changed in our constitutional republic that they don't think it needs to be restored?
That's a very good question.
Because I feel like protect is one word. Restore means something has gone away or has diminished. And so this is the question that I feel like it's like, so we're saying, yes, people love to make, we're not a democracy, we're a republic, whatever. The institution of us electing our officials and that our votes being what decides that and not politicians and lawyers being what decides that, there is one side saying that has been a threat by another, by the other side, of just my side didn't win, so they must have cheated, so right, we're going to do it our way.
Right.
But I guess I've never heard it really, I guess maybe their argument is of restoring is because they think Democrats cheat, which it is, and Twitter's not real life, but as I've said multiple times, I try to follow a wide range of social media accounts, and I will say there's some right-wing talk show hosts who will tweet things, and I'll read the comments, and the amount of comments like, well, they're just going to cheat anyways. They're already counting the votes, and like, it's just this, and again, Twitter's not real life. It's usually anonymous accounts. Could be the same person again and again and again. That's for all true. I know. Could be bots. Like I always look at sometimes the negative, crappy comments left on any of my videos on social media. And often when I click through to see who is this person, sometimes it's like they have friends and followers. Often it is zero follower. You know, it's just either a fake account or a bot in general. And so I don't know how many of those accounts are real people just hiding under pseudonyms. But I feel like there is a population out there that still is very convinced that no matter what, Democrats cheat, despite the fact that there's been no evidence. And that, to me, is the kind of restoration we need, is gaining back the trust of people, to trust people like Lana Crop, who we had on last week talking about, you know, election clerks and city clerks, right, and like people who are, they're not out there to like cheat you. They're just trying to do their jobs.
And it would require a massive network to pull off the kind of voter fraud they allege, because there are so many checks and balances when ballots come back and they're cross-checked and cross-checked again. But unfortunately, this eroding confidence in our elections has been the goal of the GOP for decades, because they can't win the popular vote.
At least here.
At least, well
even, they can't win the popular vote nationally.
Nationally. I mean, they're presidential candidates.
I mean, because the last person to win the popular vote was Bush the second time.
I believe.
The last Republican to win the popular vote was Bush the second time.
I believe so.
So that would have been 2004.
And that's when, again, that's where
that's
all
wild
this,
to think about,
isn't it?
Like when you, because like sometimes I see it's like, oh, out of the X amount of last presidential elections, this is how many people have actually won the president. But when you think about it's now been 20 years since a Republican won the popular vote. That's wild.
And I would say it's been 20 years worth of undermining confidence in our elections.
Well, and it's so interesting because you think about how different the world, our country, well, not, maybe the world, but we'll say the country. Because, you know, when I read Tim Miller's Why We Did It, and Tim Miller, if you're on, we played his video yesterday for Doomerism. He works for The Bulwark. He was a longtime PR hatchet man for Republicans. He worked on John McCain's campaign, and he was on Jeb Bush's campaign in 2016. And he was kind of, in 2016, a fairly early Never Trumper. That's why he's part of The Bulwark, because everyone over there, including Charlie Sykes, is now, you know, for democracy and anti, you know, whatever. It's a whole group of people who talk like that.
Yeah.
I like Tim Miller. I think he's very funny. He's a good writer. I like his takes. I also think he's just an interesting person as far as, I think anyone who ever switches parties so dramatically is interesting to talk to. That's why I think it's really interesting to talk to Todd Alba. And hearing his perspective on the Todd Alba show on Civic Media from 8 to 11. Because he worked in Republican politics for decades.
Yep.
And then kind of saw, like, it's not like a young person who was a conservative in high school and went to college and then changed course. Someone who spent his career in one camp and then through critical thinking was like, this ain't it.
Yeah.
And so anyways, with Tim Miller's book, you know, post 2012, when Mitt Romney lost to Obama, there was a whole coalition of what the Republican Party needed to do. And so many of the recommendations were, we need to appeal to people of color. We need to appeal to more women. We need to broaden our message and broaden the policies that we're advocating for to appeal to people. And that just went down the drain.
Yeah, they didn't do that.
And I think there were, including Elise Stefanik, who was on that coalition, who was advocating for that stuff. And then it came back to, well, I guess Trump's strategy is going to win. So let's just put that away. But just think about how different our world could be if we were still fighting about policy and how, you know, what government spending and, you know, that was the thing instead of all these culture wars and divisiveness and just saying, you know, let's find ways that we don't actually have to appeal to people, but we can still maintain power.
I do want to wrap this thing up about this Kelly report, this reporting on Kelly in today's Journal Sentinel, where he spoke with this, where this pastor had appeared. Kelly appeared virtually after that pastor, and his spokesman says that Kelly, quote, speaks for himself and himself only. He did not hear the comments by another guest speaker, nor does he condone calls for violence of any kind, unquote.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, we got one more break before we wrap up the show. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
A 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. I'm tired now.
It was a fun show.
It was a very fun show.
Lots of guests. We learned lots. And you can always go back and listen in podcast form and read all the show notes. And it's really, all the stuff you need is there.
I know. I just always need to remember to
do it.
To do it. Because yeah. Sometimes after the show, I have doctor's appointments or something to do. So I feel like yesterday's show, like they're up there, but I got to go actually write.
And fluff them up a little bit.
All the things. And so, but today was really, really fun. I'm trying to get more information just to make sure I have everything correct. Because big news on Monday, March 27th.
Yes.
So this coming Monday. Cripescast, which airs on
Saturdays and Sundays,
Charlie Behrens, they are going to do a live recording at Comedy on State in Madison. It is going to be, obviously, Charlie Behrens. He is going to be interviewing Mike Wagner, who's been on this show before. He's a UW-Madison professor of communications, journalism, politics. Yeah. Super interesting, fun guy. And they are... So that's going to be live on Monday, and tickets are already on sale.
The show is Monday.
The show is this Monday, okay. So you have to be 18 to attend, but tickets are on sale now. We will, again, put the tickets in the show notes, but students are $10, VIP is $50, and general admission is $25, but it's going to be live. You can go see it in person. It's a get out the vote. It's a nonpartisan get out the vote event. And tomorrow, we have two pairs of tickets to give away.
Of these highly desirable, much sought after tickets.
Tickets. And so you'll have to tune back in tomorrow when we'll do the giveaway. I'm sure there'll be some version of calling in. Maybe we'll play a game.
You may have to sing.
I might have to sing again.
Good heavens, not you.
Come on, I sang Kermit at the beginning of the hour, and I was the beginning of the show, and I was fine. I sounded as good as Kermit did.
Yes, of course you did.
You sing, then. You're the one who actually can carry it, too.
The one thing, too, about this Charlie Behrens show is the proceeds are going to Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County, I believe.
Yeah, which is great. It's not just us making money.
Right. No, it's not. It is not. It's for a good,
worthy
cause. Charlie does a lot of giving back.
He does. He really does. And so I don't know. I don't think I will be making it to Madison on a school night. But
for us, that's kind of tough.
There will be a lot of other civic media folks, I'm sure, that it's easier. They either live in Madison or it's easier for them to get to Madison and be there. But
And now our new headquarters, which is underway,
is right above
Comedy on State. Club.
Yep. Yeah. So we'll put in more information if you want to go buy tickets to this event on Monday. We'll put that in today's show notes. I'll probably also be sharing it across social media, which if you don't follow us on social media yet, we're at As Goes Wisconsin on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I think that's it. I think that's pretty much everything.
I would hope there can't possibly be more.
I mean, there are, I guess you could be on... What else is there to be on these days? I guess there's all the things that popped up as competitors to Twitter, which I haven't heard any of them really.
Yeah, I don't think any
pulling
of those
ahead
are,
yet.
Yeah, I don't think that many of those are going anywhere.
I'm waiting to see if there's anything that tries to. And we're also on YouTube. If you want to watch every day, we have the live stream on YouTube along with Facebook, and I post some of the shorts there and stuff. But that's probably where we'll also start posting the individual interviews, if you'd like to watch them instead of listen to them. But I'm trying to think. The TikTok CEO testified today.
Yeah, I know.
He made a video on TikTok. I'm sure the algorithm pushed it out aggressively, but I saw it. That man, he's Chinese, and you can tell English is his second language, although his English is very good. But watching his video, and he was, you know, trying to explain what's happening, and he was asking for, like, he was saying, he's like, there's 150 million Americans who use TikTok, and was asking people to tell him, what do you want me to tell, like, how you use it, and what it means to you, and why you don't want it to go away. And I watched it, and I was like, man, this guy... has more charisma in his pinky toe than Mark Zuckerberg has in his entire 40 years of living.
Is that a high bar?
It's not, but it's like the amount of times we've ever seen Mark Zuckerberg try to do like address the public and he just is such a robot. And this guy was charismatic. And I don't know, this is the first time I've ever heard him say anything was on this TikTok. But, you know, and in the same conversation, because I think I've been very honest of what that app, with it's flawed, for sure. And I mean, I'm not sure it's spying on you more than any other technology is spying on you. But I saw a testimony is probably too strong of a word. But I saw a guy talking about the power of community that can be created on TikTok, because he's a math teacher. And he was like, I was on winter break. He's like, because I love teaching people math. And so I joined TikTok. I think he said he may have been as soon as like December 2022. Maybe it was December 2021. He's like, I joined this just to talk about math and like teach people math. And now he's 250,000 followers, and he's like, I've connected with other people who love math all over the world. And I've seen him before answer someone's math question. And he goes, this doesn't exist on Instagram. This doesn't exist on YouTube.
That kind of engagement.
And that is what I always said with my success on the app, is that there is something about that algorithm that the content you put out, it finds you your people. And even, I mean, I posted that video about Waukesha this morning, and in 3 hours, I posted it basically right before we were on air. It's got 24,000 people who've watched it.
Wow.
And that's just simply, it was a 15 second video just giving people information about what happened in Waukesha. And it's found people, right? It found the people who care about this issue and might maybe do something about it. And so I do hope it goes well for him today, and we'll see, because I think it is much more political than an actual threat of why this is all happening for TikTok. And I don't know if something will be able to fill the vacuum that it would create if that app went away. But anyways, that will do it for us today. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers. He has Representative Clinton Anderson joining at 2:30 to talk about open records. And on the Chad Holmes Show, he's talking to WAOW TV news anchor Brad Hansen. And in the second hour, he's discussing and have sound from the event highlights of the 13th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act.
Oh, man.
So stick around for both of us, both of those shows, either one, both at the same time. Otherwise, come back tomorrow at 11 a.m. when we'll do this all again and round out the week. Talk to you then. I'm coming out tonight.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin WFHR, Rapids Elks Lodge.
Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News Talk and Sports.